The current Canadian government has had a rocky relationship with China, but now it seems intent on improving things. Two cabinet ministers have visited China recently, and Prime Minister Stephen Harper is set to go later this year in November. But the question is, will Canada be able to continue to press human rights issues and improve the trade relationship at the same time? My colleague Lynn Desjardins joins me now with more on this story. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Mark.
Let's start out with a question about when Canada's relationship with China took a bit of a downward turn.
Well, Mark, under the Liberal government in 1997, Canada began a human rights dialogue. But that process was roundly criticized by human rights groups as really they thought it was kind of a way for China to look like it was doing something, but not much was actually accomplished in practical terms. So when the Conservative government came into power in 2006, it abandoned this human rights dialogue, and things seemed to really deteriorate from there. Bernie Froelich is a professor emeritus of political science at Brock University. He's written several books on human rights and democracy, some of them about China, and here's how he sees what happened.
This government has had a problem with China. They wanted to emphasize the projection of our values, democracy, human rights, to the Chinese, and they were very adamant about pushing this. They received the Dalai Lama here. They made him an honorary citizen. This created problems for the Chinese. Our prime minister didn't go to the Olympics. All these things created a very difficult relationship with the Chinese. I think our government thought that by emphasizing human rights, we could perhaps change Chinese policies inside China. I think also our government wasn't really that interested in relations with countries in the Asia-Pacific region, concerned more with relations with the United States and dealing with Afghanistan.
Now, in addition to that, Canada really has not been very effective in diplomacy and promoting trade with China. Charles Burton teaches political science at Brock University. He's worked at Canada's embassy in Beijing and has advised different Canadian governments on China policy.
Clearly, we're very much behind the Australians and the British and the Americans in terms of our use of resources to promote trade. We have a very divided system, partially due to, you know, our federal-provincial relationship. Just too many agencies trying to go after the same mandate without coordination, and as a result, our trade suffers. And in terms of the expertise of the people that we send to China, we don't have enough people who really speak the Chinese language well on the ground.
Professor Burton says the reason for that is when Canada recruits people for the Foreign Service, it emphasizes English and French language skills and professional skills, so, you know, less dependent on the language of the country they're going to. And also people tend to move around from one embassy to another, and they don't really stay very long. So he thinks Canada really needs to change its recruitment and management practices.
What have been the effects of this kind of a deteriorating relationship with China?
Well, for one thing, Mark, Canada has a trade imbalance with China of 4-1. That is, we import 4 times more than we export to China. And that compares with, for example, Australia, which has a 1.2 to 1 trade balance. So, you know, that's much more equitable. It's almost 1-1. So the numbers speak volumes. Canadian businesses have been very vocal in their complaints about the difficulties in being able to trade and invest and so on with regards to China. And the human rights dossier seems to be going nowhere. So Professor Froelich says Canada has been forced to realize that it needs to improve the relationship.
I think as the world continues to move forward and China becomes more important to the world and becomes a central global player, and in the current G20 meetings, China played a tremendously active role, and as the Americans and the Chinese come together more in many areas, Canada has no choice. Canada must participate, must work with China. China is going to be a number one player in the world. We can't just ignore China. We have to engage China.
So now, Mark, Canada is exploring ways to improve the relationship.
But does Canada have to abandon the efforts it's been making to improve human rights in China just in order to improve the trade relationship?
Well, Professor Burton doesn't think so. He thinks there's another way, and that is what Foreign Affairs Minister Lawrence Cannon explored while he was in China.
Mr. Cannon, in his meetings with the Chinese foreign minister and the vice president of China, says that the Chinese are amenable to trying to come up with a mechanism whereby we could engage on human rights that would be more satisfactory to Canada. Canada doesn't want to have an engagement with human rights which basically takes human rights out of the equation and makes it impossible for the government to articulate Canadians' concerns over the reports of human rights abuses there. So it's a question of, we want to engage on human rights, but can we engage on human rights in a way which is going to be effective in terms of promoting genuine change in China and addressing the concerns of Canadians over these reports?
And to give you an idea, Mark, in the past, Canada's dealt with China's foreign ministry, and, you know, the mandate there is really to defend China's interests abroad, not to promote human rights. So Professor Burton says it might be more valuable for Canada, for example, to share its expertise with other officials on such things as, say, multiculturalism, where Canada has a lot of experience to share about respecting the rights of minorities, or something like managing police, so that we sort of are able to move them towards respecting human rights more, or even to consult with people on constitutional issues to bring China's constitution more in line with the United Nations norms on human rights. So it would be quite a different approach, and Professor Burton is optimistic that pursuing this kind of avenue on human rights and engaging more on trade, that really he thinks the relationship between Canada and China can improve.
Oh, yes. I think we're showing much more engagement, and the Chinese are welcoming this. You know, we've sent our Minister of International Trade 1 month. The next month, we sent our Minister of Foreign Affairs. I think that over the next while, we'll probably be sending other ministers. And so there's a lot of focus at the senior level in Canada on trying to improve our relations with China and intensify them in the Canadian interest. And I think that the Chinese side are receptive to this. So I feel very optimistic about the future. I think we're really going to be moving on our relations with China in the months ahead. And I think that's a good thing for both Canada and for China.
And, of course, Mark, as you mentioned, Canada's Prime Minister is set to visit China in November, so there's going to be a lot of high-level contact between the two countries over the next several months, which could go a ways in strengthening the relationship.
Well, I guess that's something that we will see in the future. Thank you very much for this, Lynn.
You're welcome, Mark.
And that is my colleague Lynn Desjardins here on The Link. And as always, if you have any thoughts or comments about anything you hear on the program, an opinion that you'd like to share about some of the things that we talk about on the program, an easy way to get in touch with me is via email, thelink@rcinet.ca. We have a bit of music now for you. This is from Montreal. It's the Roberto Lopez Project with Oye Latino, and this is from their album, Que Pasa.